Good morning yourself, Owen.
Welcome to the DL Debate. Because of the bank holidays, Owen saying we are live at five. That is a bit of a ring to it. Well, what a weekend's action it's been in GAA across the county, and it's still going on as we speak. We're going to get some updates from Tom Comack, who is at the Centre of Excellence, where Clochaneely are currently playing Buncrana for the right to meet Dunloe in the Intermediate Championship. Now, I have a special guest in studio this evening. It's the one and only tactical glance willy mastermind. It is Gary McDade. Gary, how are you?
Good morning, Brandon. Thanks very much.
Some people call,
a tactical mastermind. Some people call it 15 behind the ball. Where would you lie with that?
I would say we had two shining diamonds as a Murphy and Nealon, 13 rough diamonds. We just got it together well, and made it happen.
you definitely made it happen, my man. You definitely made it happen. We're looking to speak to John Gilday as well. We're hoping to have his views on the show shortly as well. If we can get John on, would be great. He is, of course, one of the guys that started this Niamh Connell revolution. Gary, I'm going to go straight into that game. The game we just witnessed in the park there, another phenomenal performance from Niamh Connell. You know, just thinking, into their fifth final in a row, I was thinking back to the first two finals that they lost fairly heavily, and I thought, you know, do they have to change tactics? This isn't working for them. They came back that third year and just got better at what they did. They were beaten a couple of times in that trilogy with Gidoor, and I think from that, this unbeaten run, this can't be beat or we'll find a way to think, has just seemed to get stronger and stronger, and I think going into this year's championship, Gary, I've seen them play a few times. They just kind of did enough, I suppose. Coming into the championship off the back of a county final, being ready for a county final, they did enough through the group stages. But the last couple of games, Gary, they've just stepped it up and deserving winners again today.
I'm just kind of in awe of them at the minute, Brendan. You know, I was watching that second half today, and I went, they're just so phenomenally good. So they are. You know, I was at the last group game in the Glen a couple of weeks ago, and I nearly thought they'd lost a bit of their mojo. How stupid or how wrong was I? I was so far wrong, you know. Yeah. We played very well that day, and we ran them close. So we did, and I actually thought, you know, I don't think we're anywhere going into the game anywhere near Niamh Connell, and I couldn't believe in how close we came to it. And that's why I started questioning in my own head, maybe where are they? But the performance against Gwydor, and today
Gwydor were slight favourites going into that game too. Is it as if Niamh Connell in each game just go to the gear that they need to go to? You know, because they had us all fooled going into these last two games, because a lot of people were tipping Gwydor going into that match. You know, but Niamh Connell just went to another level. And again today, maybe not so much first half, but second half. You know, they completely bossed that second half, and you know, we had the drama at the end, which we'll get to. But I think, you know, there are a lot of controversy about the square ball goal, etc. But, you know, it was Niamh Connell's game. It wasn't as if the game was on a knife edge. You know, Kilcare were clutching at straws to try and get back into it.
Yeah, and like, it's 3 years, Bryn, like you talked about there, since they lost a championship game. 3 years since Gwydor beat them in that final. And then, of course, I think the trilogy has made them from boys into men. They've nearly made that transformation, you know, from a young fella and men, and they're so balanced across the field. Like, they went in the day, they went in the day at half time, so they did it at 4-4. They were 4-2 down in that game, so they were in the first half, and they looked in bother, so they did. They were playing nowhere near the level they can. It was Kilcare were bossing the show, so they were in the first
Steve
half.
Steve McBurdy in particular.
Oh my God, the scores. Like I rushed from Convoy. I jumped out of the lorry in Convoy and straight into the car to get down, because I was doing the co-com up there on the live stream to get down, and I missed the Charlie McGinnis point, and I just came in and I saw Steve McBurdy's point land on the roof, and he was brilliant. I thought he gave Ethan O'Donnell his full of it, and I was actually shocked that Glenties maybe didn't change that at half time, and they didn't. And even then after that, when he got his third score in the second half, they didn't move him earlier. But they were in 4-4 at half time, and I just thought, you have played nothing, and you're level going in at half time, because Kilcare bossed the first half and dominated. But from talking to some of the players afterwards, I was talking to them outside, they were saying, you don't realise how strong that one was down there. And they were saying, you know, the Glenties players were saying that it was really difficult for them in the first half. They were kicking the ball, and it was wild hard to judge with the one. And they said they came out the second half, and the one was actually stronger in their favour. So they thought that was a big thing. We probably didn't realise that, Brendan, up in the stand, you know, up in the press box in the second half. But I thought some of the, a great advert today for football in Donegal. The third quarter of Glenties was just unreal. So it was like, I mean, they had three in a row, so they did. And if you had three scores in a row, I always think it's a big statement in football. So it was very hard for the opposition to come back after you had three in a row. And then they came out after water break and pinned on an R2. So that was actually five in a row. And very rarely do you see teams come back from that. But it was 9-7. Paddy McBurney to free.
To free, that's right.
To make it 9-8.
That's right.
And I think I was another. And you back Paddy all day long, so you had. So you would. I think it was another big turning point in the game. Like, that would have made it 9-8. So what? And that was going in. That was Brendan about going into the last 10 minutes of the game.
Do you think, just thinking about the defensive shape, and we know how good Niamh Conlon, they were overturning Kilcare. They were much more physically imposing than them.
Wild.
When Kilcare came in, they were getting stripped, and I know the bit of the wet ball kind of helped that, but when Niamh Conlon broke, they were able then to get beyond the tackles. And they created a lot of chances. They should have got a goal. You know, that's what I'm saying. You're making a case there for maybe Kilcare coming back. But the reality is that so many of their players in the second half just didn't get into the game, you know. Anytime McBurney got at Paddy, he was out around his 45, and there was two or three, four Niamh Conlon players coming towards him. Stephen didn't get into much. And I suppose the break, you look at Andrew McLean and Ryan McHugh, for example, you know, County players. I would have thought today, at times, they would have broke the tackle that came off the shoulder.
Yeah, true.
We didn't see that at all from Kilcare today. And yeah, you're right. They played well in the first half. I thought Stephen McBurney, it was an absolute brilliant performance from him. And that shot of Paddy's was top class.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, going back to Niamh Conlon and how they find a way, obviously at half-time, they had words. They came out a different side. And really, as you say, that 5 points in a row, in a game that was that tight, it was some takeover from them.
Well, and you know, I think a big tactical move by Niamh Connell was the man marked Mark McHugh, which no one else probably has done to date in Donegal club football. You know, he's playing sweeper. He's used to picking up the ball. They look for him. He's almost the start of the food chain. So he is at the back. Jack McKelvey went in and marked him today from the start. So he did. And we all saw how good a game Jack had against Guidor the week before. And I think he's really grown into a top player, like so he is. But therefore, Mark wasn't available to take the ball coming out from the back. Then also, they wanted, so how many times have we seen Kilcare come bring the ball back and give it to Mark McHugh? They couldn't do that today. So they cut off a major fulcrum of their attack. So they did. They had to go down the food chain, then maybe Glenties matured, they went down the food chain to players who are not as skillful in the ball as Mark McHugh, not as comfortable in the ball as Mark McHugh. So therefore then, there's not a big potency to their attack. And listen, I just think tactically they got it bang on today, so they did.
And just Charles McGinnis too, you know, the power and the strength, the platform. I mean, early on, I couldn't believe like Owen McHugh one-on-one inside. Like that ball was on all day and it was going to cause some serious problems. And then, that's what I'm saying about McBurney. Then you couldn't get McBurney one-on-one inside like that because of Niamh Conlon's shape and their defence. Like, I thought because Kilcare with a low score and get into this, that they might have sat very much like them. But really, it was the masters of the counter-attack with that physical edge. And that, of course, was the platform then, because a bit like Guidor last week, you know, you've Niamh Conlon then breaking into the space after tackles and breaking into the space. And some energy as well from Gary. You talk about like coming into the championship and having to have that county final first. Like, they look so fresh as well, you know. They're just, that's what, you know, you're thinking about a final now in St. Junan's. There's no question marks about Niamh Conlon, how good they're going to play in this final. And that is the level that St. Junan's are going to somehow have to try to get up to.
Yeah, and Charlie McGinnis, you're on about him there, his aerobic capacity is ridiculous. Because he's right back in his own D. Next thing, he's up in the full forward and he's fisting it over the bar. So he is.
Kevin McGinnigan, the same.
Kevin McGinnigan.
Yeah.
And like, he got 5 points today, two frees, one mark, and two from play. So he got man of the match. But I was just saying to people afterwards, I think he's in good a shape as I've ever seen him. So he is, you know, and his aerobic capacity is immense and his physical hitting today. The amount of ball, I thought the game was brilliant. As a spectacle day, Andy McFeely has to be applauded. You know, they let the game go. So he did. He really let it go. Not to a dirty sense, but he let. It's championship football. and people want to see good hats, fair hats, good, and it was physical, and he has to be applauded for his performance.
He does very well. With a bit of common sense.
Yes.
Just going to the very end then of this game, and of course there had to be a bit of controversy in this. You know, a lot of people would have looked at a draw in this game, so it was interesting how much Niamh Connell pulled away in that second half. But you know, with that 3-point lead, Kilkear had to go for a goal, and just before that one, it was Barry Shovlin, wasn't it, at the back post?
Yeah.
McBurdy had the shot. I thought that was a big moment, because obviously they would have maybe stole a draw. I think even in extra time, it was just something about Niamh Connell today. I think they still probably would have won the match. But that one that broke to him, if he had roofed that, you thought that was the chance gone, and then that looping ball in. I don't know if you've seen anything back. I've heard different reports. One guy phoned me and said, listen, it wasn't a square ball,
yeah,
and they were quite definite. And then my sister phoned me the way up here, and she says, no, it was a square ball, he got it right. What was your view?
Well, I wasn't sure when I watched it live, when I was live, because we had no replays. But when I got home, then I got onto the TG car and I watched the replay. And it was a square, to me, it was a square ball, and Enda got right. And what I will say about Enda, it was very consistent as regards square ball. Dave, that wasn't the first square ball he blew, and I've noticed that from his refereeing. If you watch him, he runs straight in anytime there's a free kick to the square, and he keeps his eyes on it. You know what I mean? And he did a good job in that.
Did you think it was a bit strange that he went to the umpires then, though? Because he was very definite himself straight away when he went into them then. Now, listen, you could say that's, I suppose,
good,
that's
refereeing.
Common sense.
Yeah.
Right, take your time. Go on and actually have a word, you know, because I know the players were all going a bit mad. It was
the pressure of the players that made him. Right, doubt yourself. You can imagine yourself. You'll doubt yourself if 10 players are shouting at you. It was definite. So it was a great move by him. He went in and spoke to the two umpires, his father and the other referee from Red Shoes. I can't recall his name right now.
But the only thing I think takes the heat off this is how good Niamh Connell were today. If this game was on a knife edge, if it was a thing where Kilkear could have maybe stole it or deserved a draw, they didn't really. You know, and I think that'll probably quell a lot of the talk about it. Now, I know Kilkear say, listen, anything could have happened in extra time, but I don't think any Kilkear fan could feel that Niamh Connell didn't deserve to win that match today, you know.
Yeah, Kilkear didn't make enough of the black card when Owen Doherty went off. I mean, they still went in level at half time. I think Glenty's dealt with that very, very well. Like, Owen Doherty, every game I watch, I just think he's getting better and better. And that is that rocket of a left foot. He had the point from under the stand himself, and the other one was going in, and Charlie McGinnis put it over the bar.
That's right.
Like, he's such an acquisition for them this year. To me, he's nearly up there as one of their most important players. And what about the move? I thought, Brendan, the skill level today was just unbelievable. So it was the kick passing, Paddy McBurdy, Ryan McHugh, Kieran Thompson. You could see why they're county players. They're kick passing, I thought, today. So, because I wrote it down, their three names, because I could see the kicking. It was just out of this world, the passing. And Ethan O'Donnell had a great one late on. So he did over the top to Owen Wade. And there was another thing Glenty's through today that I guarantee Kilkear weren't ready for. And no one saw it. They played Owen Wade up front of Charlie McGinnis. We've never, ever, ever seen that. So, Euron's have loads to think out here. Like, what are they going to do the next day? They threw a curveball today, and Wade had two goal chances. And he usually is. Jack McKelvey threw him at one the first half. I thought Jack should have took it himself, because after the finish he had against Guidoor the week before was unbelievable, and he had the norm right at the start of the second half. Glenty's goal chances, and to me, Kilkear nearly went for goal too early. So they went for goal, like, you know, from the 50th minute. I wrote it down in my notes. From the 50th minute onwards, they started to chase goal. And there was still, keep the scoreboard ticking. Like, I remember myself coaching our own lads, you know, and I remember particularly against Unions in 2014, that final. The last 10 minutes, we were going for goal, and I was trying to get the message out to them, keep the scoreboard ticking.
Yeah.
You know, stop panicking and rushing for goal. And it's so, so important. And it kind of reminded me that there today, off us against Unions in 2014, Kilkear seemed to panic and say, we need a goal. Instead of just, because in the first half, they actually were causing bother by shots that were dropping short. I thought, causing bother, keep shooting, have a drop short, I think you're causing bother. They looked dangerous of getting a goal in the first half.
Yeah, they went a wee bit desperate, you're right. They're talking about keeping the scoreboard ticking over. Clonaily are doing that. 142 points up so far in that intermediate game. Clonaily, of course, lost the last two intermediate finals and looking to make it into a third final. Don't know already there, of course. Gary, last night's game, St Junan's and St Michael's, marred by bad weather and conditions. Another sticky game for St Junan's. they got through it, they pulled again. Again, 14 men, you know, Liam Paul getting the red card, and, you know, Unions in the end pulling away on difficult conditions. I mean, my own father was getting a special award down in Calais last night, Calais FC, so I didn't see the game. But was there anything in it to suggest that St Unions have a decent shot in this final?
Definitely. I mean, you're in the finals, a 50-50 game, anything can happen. I thought St Michael's did really well last night. I think it'll make for a better final with St Unions through, because you know St Michael's, they brought a really good level yesterday, sending off Kildenbrand. It's not like Liam Paul Ferry. I've never remembered being sent off before, and that really, really hurt them. Like, they went in 4-4, so they did at half time. They scored, Carlos O'Reilly scored in the 34th minute to make it 5-5, and they never scored after that. They had 1 point in the second half. They were probably against the elements in the second half, so they were. Unions hit five in a row then in the last quarter, and that gave them a double score one. Interestingly, last night they only used one sub, so they did. And we hear so much about the panel of players in the O'Donnell Park. I thought that was very interesting, that Paddy McGinning was the only sub that came on last night.
It made a big impact.
It made a huge impact. And to me, there's other players when I looked through the bench. So Eamon Doherty's baller with a hamstring, granted. Anthony Gallagher, I thought, first game against Kilcar, did a really good job on Patrick McBurdy. Remember that change when they brought him off? That actually led, to me, it was one of the major turning points where Kilcar beat them that day, so it did in the O'Donnell Park. He hasn't got a look in since, so he hasn't. James Kelly, I thought, might have been worth game time last night as well. Sean McGettigan seems to be out. I think he got two concussions, someone said, a couple of weeks in a row. So he's maybe another man that you could see for the final that counts. So they have plenty of options. They have young David Boyle, who's part of our McCrory team in the school as well, struggling with a hamstring at the minute. So he is. And Brian McIntyre, I saw him around gathering balls last night. Brian got man of the match in so many games that me and you were at last year, and was the club player of the year as well, and hasn't played 1 minute of championship this year. So they definitely have loads of options. And nearly it's been thrown at Unions maybe that they never know their best team. Maybe now they do, because they only used 16 players last night. Peter McAniff was injured last night, so they definitely used Peter, because to me Peter's one of the best man markers and best ball players as regards defenders. So that's 17. So maybe they do. Maybe Rory and David do, you know, now, like, this is the 17 we're going with, you know, for the final.
Yeah, certainly. Good stuff, Faith. Listen, that's a lot for them to get together, I suppose. Now, you've seen everything that Niamh Conlon have brought. I'm just looking at that semi-final last year, you know, the famous Leo McClune tackle and Patton with the ball end up in the net. Was it a foul? Was it not? At that point, you know, it looked like St Unions were a bit of a coming team in terms of, they had a nice brand of youth, boys were coming through. And Niamh Conlon, we all thought, and as you were saying, Gary, you're on about losing a bit of mojo. You thought there was a lot of miles in the legs of a lot of players. That's why the last couple of weeks have been very interesting in terms of they've just had a serious, serious peak. Now, of course, you could say it's great preparation for the final, but two big games. Unions, you know, have controlled the last couple of games they've played. They'll be coming on very fresh to this as well. It is a one-off game. But I'm sure in that mindset of Niamh Conlon now, they must be coming in very, very confident that, listen, we've got what it takes to win this title. And they take, you know, it's a historic thing, three in a row. Gary, after losing the two finals, the same thing happened to us at Unions. We lost two finals and then you went to 1-3. So
yeah.
us and Niamh Conlon following similar paths.
And listen, to me, maybe not so much recently, Bryn, but a few years back, there was huge rivalry between these two clubs. I remember ambulances would be called to the Donald Park, so there was even for a reserve game a lot of years ago, so there was. Probably now, Niamh Conlon's main rivals are Kilcar, you know, and you could see that rivalry today, especially at the end of the match. You could see it just boil over at times at the end on the pitch. But Unions, you know, I know you would hear the rumblings that, you know, that they feel very hard done by last year, that they should have had them beat. You can imagine that's going to be battered off the changing room wall now over the next fortnight, that, listen, boys, we should have beat them last year, and now look at what they've gone on and done. You know what I mean? I think that they're going to take massive belief, and they're going to use that as motivation, that they were kind of outdone by a dodgy decision in their minds last year. Like, Niamh Conlon are entirely happy that it was a perfectly legitimate goal. And as you said, the whole thing of chasing three in a row as well. I mean, like, they're counting 2020, that's their championship, you know, and no doubt the talk will carry that afterwards today as well. And they're chasing that three in a row, and Unions would love to spoil that party because they don't want another team to be passing them out now as a new three in a row champions. And it's a thing I would always throw back, Ben. I don't know when you were young who you went and watched that, but when I was a Cobbie member about 10, 11, 12, going over it when we were like in Division 4 and playing against your third team. I remember going over to Funtra and Kelly Beggs and watching that great Kelly Beggs team. My cousin used to take him over, Michael Breen, so he did. And watching them play against Glencoe, Kilcar, I used to love going over there, so did. And now I'm just thinking all the young kids in the county now are watching this great Glenties team. To me, that Kelly Beggs team, I know I was young at the time, they were probably one of the best, if not the best team in my mind. I was young then watching it. And now this Glenties team, people are going to say, is this the best ever team that has come out of Donegal Club Football? Much like that Unions team won three in a row, were a phenomenal side, but probably they didn't make the inroads in Ulster that Niamh Connell have done. Mm. You know what I mean? That they got beaten in Ulster final and that. So they'll probably say that we're better than Unions because we've made more inroads in Ulster. This team's better.
True that. That's a deep question. There's a lot to do with tactics, and we'll come back to that in a minute after this break, Gary. Thanks. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, I was lucky enough to be at that game doing commentary with Jeremy Doherty today. He caught up with Martin Regan after. We're going to hear from Martin Regan in a minute or two. But first of all, we had a few technicals. We're supposed to have John Gilday on streaming with us, but we've just got a hold of him there now on the phone. How are you, John?
I'm good, Brendan. And yourself?
Good man, John. Listen, sorry you couldn't join in the conversation earlier, John. I just wanted your feedback on another phenomenal performance from your club and another county final.
Yeah, no, very exciting. Obviously, very delighted that we got across the line, which was an epic battle. I suppose, you know, being at the game and looking at the game, probably shouldn't have been as tight as it was. You know, we had a lot of goal chances, and I think that, you know, all the drama at the end could have been dealt with much, much earlier. But overall, very strong performance, particularly in that third quarter where they really increased the intensity levels, really went through the roof, turned over an awful lot of ball, and kicked on with a number of scores. So, you know, in what the so-called moving quarter, they definitely put their shoulder to the wheel and put in a huge...
of the overall victory.
And I suppose they hung on at the end, but as I said, from my perspective, I thought they were in control for long parts of the game, and maybe they shouldn't have been hanging on at the very end. But listen, getting over the line is the only important thing in the semi-final.
Yeah, just chatting with Gary about that, the couple of goal decisions, obviously the square ball at the end and the chance that Barry Shovlin had. But John, in many ways, as you said, Niamh Connell were in control of the game, and it would have been very much a smash and a grab of a draw. I still think even if it went the extra time, the way that your lads were playing, they would have come out on top.
I think so. There was the thing about this squad of players is there's never a level of panic that creeps in at any stage, and I felt the Kilcar panic at stages today. There were some rash decisions, and you know, we started going for goals very early and towards the end of the game when maybe kicking over the points would have been the right thing to do. And there's no sense of panic. And really, if you looked at the game in totality, like Kilcar in the first half played a lot of that, you know, they had 10 minutes where they had the extra man. They had the elements in their favour. And they still went at half-time, you know, on par, which would have been disappointing from their point of view and given, obviously, Niamh Connell a huge lift. And as I said, I think just today, overall, from looking at the game, they were better in more positions than Kilcar. I think the Kilcar big men were taken out of the game very, very well by, you know, Martin Regan and the tactic side of the equation. And I think the spread of the Niamh Connell team, where you had more match winners, maybe not as big a names like Patrick and the McHughes and stuff like that, but the spread of footballers on the team and men being comfortable with the ball was greater, and that's what seemed Niamh Connell through.
Yeah, mighty stuff, John. Of course, the old rivalry renewed with St Junans going way back now to 2005. Myself and yourself were still moving and shaking out in the pitch, and that was the start of it, John. We found you hard to deal with that day, but this is a Niamh Connell team. I think now you would have to say the best ever, John.
Oh, without doubt, yeah. I think they've proven that over the last 15, 16 years. Right now, it's been an incredible run. You know, I got a a text too from Sean McEwen on the other side of the world, and he said, you know, any chance you could lose a game shortly, you're turned out to be Germans, in the sense that, you know, one big game, they managed to crank out a result. But no, that rivalry goes back a long, long time, and to be honest, Brendan, it probably goes back to before 2005. There was plenty of battles in the early 2000s as well, where, you know, Neil Connell, you know, we were turned over by unions, and that was an exceptional unions league. And I suppose they're the dominant team in the county, and prior to that it was St Unions, and then, you know, they're definitely one of the best teams to ever come through this county in the way that they play the game, their attitude, the physicality they bring to the game. And then, you know, people overlook the skill level of that team as well. Like, some of the scores today were exceptional. Some of the ball handling today was exceptional. The way they moved the ball was exceptional. Sometimes this collective narrative appears where, you know, the Glenties collective will wear you down, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, Jack McKelvey, the Dohertys, Ethan, Owen Wade, Marty Boyle, Kieran Thompson, those guys are all exceptional footballers and would sell them anything. So the collective is fantastic, but there's an awful lot of individual talent in there, and those lads are very, very comfortable on the ball, which makes them an exceptional outfit.
Yeah, indeed, John. Agreed. Now, John, you're coming to my charity ball in a few weeks' time, the 12th of November. Now, we have some Tyrone lads coming in. I think they're bringing the Sam. Now, is it me or is it you who's going to be able to bring the Dr. Maguire? Can you? Where do you think it's going to be? Who is it going to be with?
And the only thing I can say is it's definitely going to be there. Whether I don't know which one of us will bring it in, but it'll definitely be there. I think, listen, it's an intriguing final. I know Neil Connell are going to go in as favourites, and rightly so. They're the defending champions. They're going for three in a row. This is their second final this year. They've beaten all the big guns in the form of Clicar and Gidor, and the other one of the big four, obviously, St Union. So it'll be an exceptional final for Neil Connell to win and really cement their status within, you know, Donegal football. I have been worried about St Unions since the start of the year. If I look at the last two championship campaigns where Neil Connell and St Unions clashed in the semi-finals, Neil Connell were very lucky to get across the line on both occasions. And it's the one team that I can assure you that, you know, Neil Connell won't be taken for granted. And if you go back to, you mentioned 2005 earlier, this is a young St Unions team. They're coming through, they haven't delivered, you know, and they're coming up against the old, experienced, seasoned team that wins continuously. And, you know, we turned you guys over in 2005, and that's their things on the road. This is a Unions team that somewhere along the line on their day, they have an awful lot of talent. And I can assure you that nobody in Glenties is going to take them for granted. And I think it'll be a very interesting final. And to be honest, I think it's a 50-50. They've proven again that they can win games. They churned out a game last night against St Michael's, and Rory's done an exceptional job and brings a whole load of experience there. So, yeah. Ironically enough, it's Glenty's men that are driving that team in the two O'Donnells. They're neighbours in the own. So you can imagine how strong we'd have been if we'd have managed to cope with that back to Glenty's. But anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting. And it's the makings of a great final.
Yeah, good stuff, John. Good man. Fair play. Listen, John, thanks for that. That's great stuff, Sean. I'll see you soon then. I'll see you at that final, and we'll do a bit of moving and shaking of a different kind at the ball.
Well, we'll
wrap it up. Good man. That's John Gilday, former Neve Connell and Donegal legend, of course. And as I said, just before I spoke to John there, we have a quick word from Martin Regan. We get his reaction after the victory.
Yeah, we played well. I'm really pleased with the performance out there. They were hungry and they were aggressive in the tackle. They played really, really well. They're pleased where we are. We probably made hard work of it. I think we probably should be more than three up towards them closing minutes. But look, we got over the line, and that's all we want to do is just move on to the next round.
Yeah, because Kilcare, there was always the chance that they might sneak a goal right at the end, and there was that big controversial moment where the referee gave a square ball. Is that how you seen it as well, Martin?
I didn't see it now, to be honest, and I haven't seen a replay of it, and it was very far from it. It's difficult to tell, even if you're in beside it, it's difficult to tell them. Yeah. Situations. There was close on 20-25 players probably in around the square at that stage, so it is difficult to tell. But we got the call today. There's days they don't call for you, but that call went for us today, and thankfully we got through to the next round.
Yeah, and in fairness, your second half performance was so impressive, because the sides were level at half time, but you guys kicked on in the second half, got important scores, and some wonderfully taken points.
Yeah, played well in the second half. We were pleased with where we were at half time, and there was a difficult enough breeze to kick into in the first half, and getting you that there. So whatever breeze was on it, we had it in the second half, and we did get points at a little bit easier, and probably one or two goal chances as well that we could have finish, and if we had got those there, it probably would have been lights out from an earlier stage. But look at, that went down to the wire, as most games do, and we came out the right side of it again.
Yeah, and Kilcare, they carry so much threat, don't they, Martin? And were you ever a bit worried in that first half, because they got themselves 2 points in front and they were playing well? You guys were down to 14 after that black card.
Oh, of course, look at their quality. You look through the players they have, the McHughes, McBertys, McLeans, or Kieran McKinley, they're all county standard players. And like, we were missing Owen Gettigan there too, if you remember, too, one of our county players. So the boys just knuckle down. Doesn't matter who you're missing, who's out through injury, whatever it is, they just keep battling on. And so proud of them, and everybody knew it was going to be a battle. It was going to go into where they're a brilliant team, Kilcare, and we're just glad to go out the right side of it.
And the difficult games continues. You had Guidoor in the quarter final, Kilcare today, and now it's St Unans in the final, another side that you know all so well.
Yeah, look, the last 2 years we've beaten Unans in the championship, the last 2 years, but it was a point both times, once after extra time. So like, there's never more than a point in the games we play Unions, and it'll be absolutely no different in 2 weeks' time. So we knuckle down and we prepare with 2 weeks. We're glad we're 2 weeks now at this stage, because we had a tough run of it there with 6 weeks run and 7 weeks run.
Yeah,
I think with games, so it'll be good to get that weekend, next weekend, to prepare for the county final.
And great occasion today, Martin. Big crowd, great atmosphere, and a good game served up.
Yeah, brilliant. Great occasion. The crowd was excellent. The stand is back, and I think credit as well to Unions and Vincent McGlynn, the way the shape of the pitch in there was absolutely immaculate. It was for the time of the year that we're so late in the year, and the amount of football that's been played in that pitch, and the amount of rain that's been over the last couple of weeks, I thought the pitch was absolutely immaculate there today, and that made a big difference to the quality of the game as well.
Yeah, thanks, James, for that. We're going to shoot across the convoy now, where Tom Comack is waiting patiently to give us the update on Clonmacnoise and Buncrana. Tom, how's things going there?
Yeah, well, Clonmacnoise very much in the driving seat here at half time. Brendan, the team's ready to come back out onto the field. Val Murray is out there. Clonmacnoise lead a goal on 7-5 points. Paul Sweeney got the goal. Jason McGee's got 3 points. Sean Maguire, Darren Ferry and Kieran McBratton all have scored for Clonmacnoise, who got off to a very lively start. They had 1-3 on the board inside 14 minutes before Ben Bradley kicked Buncrana's first point 1 minute later from a mark. John Campbell added another. It was 1-3 to 2 points in favour of Clonmacnoise at the water break. Buncrana have come back more into the game. They started without Dara Jigger O'Connor. He's been replaced in the half-forward line by Ben Bradley. John Campbell is on as well for Ryan McElhinney, and there's one other change as well. He sees the full forward line shifted around quite a little bit as well. Stephen Doherty is in for Oren Doherty. He's among the sub. But just a warning, really, I suppose, or a health warning with this one. There's a very strong wind here blowing in at the County Training Centre in Convoy. Clonmacnoise playing into the village end here had that wind in the backs in the first half. So still quite an interesting game to come, really. Buncrana took the game to them, mainly led by their half-back line of Oisin O'Flaherty and full-back Bruce Baldwin in the closing minutes of that first half. Ben Bradley a point. John Campbell has got 2 points, while Adrian Doherty has also kicked a point for Buncrana. Half-time here in Convoy, Brendan, is Clonmacnoise a goal in 7. Buncrana 5 is the first second half just about to get underway.
Great stuff, Tom. Good man. We'll keep an eye on that one and see how it unfolds. Gary, the relegation playoffs. Every game has got against the grain now. You know, you can't predict it. You know, that has been the most unpredictable set of games I've seen in a long time. And unfortunately, the poor men from the Glen are down now playing Terriman. No one's seen that coming. I mean, Four Masters beating Terriman 8 points to 7. Killy Beggs beating Glenfinn 111 to 110 after extra time. You know, it's just a lottery, this relegation playoffs. And that's why so many teams are looking to avoid it, because they seem to dip from the form that they were shown in the championship.
Yeah, and if you look at it, like, to follow up on your point there, like, Glenfinn finished 9th on 4 points. The Glen finished 10th on 4 points. Both of them missed out in score difference on a quarter final spot, so they did. And now they're in the last four to stay in the senior championship. To me, that's not right. I'm not sitting here with me Glen hat on, but it's not right. If you're missing out in score difference for a quarter final in a senior championship, you shouldn't be at the relegation end. I think it was better last year, the bottom four, because that's a much fairer way to go about it. And also, it was good last year that the team who finished, we see 16th and 15th, had to travel away, Brendan, and play in the away ground, I thought, which was fair. If you're finishing higher up the table, you have to get some advantage. So, listen, unfortunately, there's four big teams big clubs down there now. Bundoran are playing, Termin are playing the Glen, and Bundoran are playing against Glenfinn. So they are, there's going to be a big follower this year. And the four teams that you said that have won those, everyone expected one of them to go down, not the other way about. Right. You know, right. And I was at that game today in Convoy, and Four Masters didn't lead until the 63rd minute of the game. They were behind the whole game. They rallied massively in the end. Richard O'Rourke, the county under 20 player, really threw everything at Termin, and he had a free, Brendan, brilliant free, one you've been proud of yourself. So he had his second score of the game in the 63rd minute. They rallied massively in the last 10 minutes. They beat Termin in the last 10 minutes, 4-1, and that was a winning game. Young Killian Faulkner and Kane Haggerty as well really shone in that last 10 minutes. Termin will probably feel, you know, they had the gate, they had so many chances, they had 2 goal chances during the game to win it as well. And interestingly, Four Masters went against their own club policy. They have a policy in the club where they don't play boys who are the first year out of minor, they only play reserve, but they brought them on today in the last 10 minutes when they were actually, looked like Termin was going to win the game. Termin were 2 up at the time. Young Dermot Slevin and Liam Quinn, I think, was the 2 boys that came on. So they've now, I think you need your best players on the pitch regardless of the age, whether they're young or they're old.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah, a couple of interesting games to finish that off. Dunlow, they've come Lumber, falling short again, semi-final, second year in a row after all the great football they played.
I think Dunlow, it's even more than second year. I think it's like maybe 3 or 4 years in beating the semi.
In the semi each year, you know, Dunlow, you know, they were shaping up well. People are saying they didn't beat any of the better teams, but they come up with the goods, 2-12 to 12 points, and looking to bounce back after that year down. For a club that don't know, you know, the intermediate, you know, they're a team that often at times was close to challenging for a senior title, so very important for them to come back up, young team.
Yeah, and you know, to go down, we don't see that much, Bryn, when a team goes down to try and bounce straight back to a final, and Desi Gallagher's done a huge job there. And for ourselves, I suppose, who are not from the Dunlow area, if you look at that Dunlow team on paper, compared to last year, there's a whole pile of new names. He's brought a draft of new names. They've been badly with emigration, but it seems to have worked well for them. But Dunlow, you know, from talking to people over there and even the neighbouring parish, Annagrey, and that, and they said they always produce good players, you know, and it's a matter of maximising that. And Desi Gallagher's probably the man within the Dunlow club who will maximise their talent. And as you said, Nave Columba, I just feel sorry for Pádraig O'Donnell, the manager. He's put so much into that group, so he has invested so much time. He's there. He's one of the longest-serving managers in club football, and probably the longest-serving at intermediate level, so he is. And, you know, the players just haven't delivered for him year after year and beaten him in an Ulster semi-final.
Yeah, toughen him back to the drawing board. The Junior Championship, wins at the weekend. Letterkenny Gaels just edging Mavull by a point. Downing's beaten Muff. So we have the semi-finals now. Gaels, Narasa, Carndonagh v Downing's. Two very intriguing semi-finals there too, Guy.
Yeah, and also, like, you're going to look at, suppose Gaels will be delighted, so they will as well. They have the Junior B team in the final as well against Lifford, so they do. But you expect Gaels to get over Narasa, so you would, and Carndonagh, I think, will get over Downing's. Brendan, so it'd be a Carndonagh-Gaels final, I think.
Yeah, interesting. Of course, the ladies' champions, Glenfinn, were in action today against Donegal, who are a real powerhouse of a ladies' football team. It was 2-22 to 1-5, a tough day at Glenfinn round out the season. So, Gary, your picks. Give me your 1-2-3 then on the senior, intermediate and junior champions.
I just think it's hard to back against Nave Connell at the minute. And also I'll go for them, and I'll go for Clohanealy. So I will at the intermediate, and I'll go for Letterkenny Gaels in the junior.
Very good, Gary. I'll have to go against that, of course. Listen, Gary, thanks so much for coming in here this evening and rounding up all. And you just want a quick word, of course. There's green shoots after this relegation situation, Ewan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I better wish good luck, Brendan, to our minors tomorrow. We're playing in the Division 1, the club's first ever Division 1 minor final, so it is. And it's in the Donald Park, 3:30 tomorrow against McCool's. So they're probably going in as underdogs, but as I said a couple of years ago, we're nestled in between two superpowers, and the two superpowers are in the county final now, and we're like the Gaza Strip, so we are in the middle, so we are. But hopefully we're coming again if we can get a few of these minors through.
We'll welcome you with open arms to Donald Park as ever, Gary. Good man. Listen, thanks so much, Kevin, for producing here. That's the show wrapped up. I'll speak to you all next week.